All right, guys, welcome to today's podcast episode with a good friend of mine, Jeremy Butler, who has recently started up his own social media platform, and he's focusing on health, fitness, living an overall better lifestyle with his wife, Skylar. And it's been inspirational to me to watch him get it off the ground. And he's extremely inspiring and motivating to be around. And in my opinion, those are the types of people that you want to keep close to you, especially if you're trying to grow as your own person. And I believe he's extremely positive. And anyways, let's get into it. So anyways, Jeremy, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me. I always call you Sherwin at work. Did I call you David or Dave?
Yeah, you could call me David.
David.
Or whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't care. So anyways, you're starting your own podcast right now. And do you want to give us some background on that?
Yeah, so me and the wife, it's been something we've looked at for quite a while, actually. Probably, I would say once we got married about 2 years ago, we talked about it and we made the Instagram page. It's thecommitment_. If you go to that, it has me and my wife's both of our tags for Instagram as well. But we made it like 2 years ago, and you know, we tried starting it then, and just, you know, things kept kind of, I don't want to say getting in the way, but you know, there's priorities to continue on with something, and it wasn't the priority at the time. We ended up having a kid. He's 14 months old, but anyway, the gist of everything is going to be, just having a better all lifestyle. It's going to be focused around health and fitness, but we're calling it the commitment because we don't want people to make a commitment to, you know, living a healthy lifestyle of exercising and food choices, but also a healthy lifestyle with their significant other. You know, we'll talk about problems that we've had together, the way we've overcame certain adversity as a couple, things that got in the way. This is my second marriage. I, you know, got out of one, and, you know, she was kind of like my saving grace. And she's always told me that I've motivated her because I had such a passion for, not just because of my passion for fitness, but having a passion for something. But yeah, so we're going to start, a YouTube channel, where she updated the Instagram page. She made a Facebook page. We're going to offer personal training, but more of like, it's all going to be, what word am I trying to use? It's going to be made to fit the person. So, whether it depends on what they have access to gym wise. Right now, a lot of gyms are closed. So people that have like bands, or if they don't even have anything but like an open floor area where they can just do, you know, calisthenics and body weight stuff. But that's going to be the big, the majority of it is fitness, but we're going to talk a lot about how to live a better lifestyle with yourself and your significant other as well.
Right. Yeah, no, that sounds awesome, actually. I'm definitely excited to hear about it. I think just having those resources available and just focusing on fitness overall can make such a difference for me personally. I know I've just struggled, even, you know, being sober is one thing, but like just actually following through and getting things done is a whole different aspect of life, in my opinion. And I made a short little post about this as far as reading too many self-help books and then getting caught in analysis paralysis, because I felt like I had that for so long where my brain had all of this information, but it wasn't coming out in the way I wanted it to.
Yeah.
So it's definitely been change. Like, I've been making some pretty massive changes with making to-do lists and following through. So I really like the idea of commitment. I definitely recommend everybody who's listening to follow Jeremy. He's extremely, like I said, passionate. When he's focused, like, he's running through walls. So it's pretty cool to see that. So anyways, How has being in this whole quarantine situation affected your fitness and as far as keeping a routine with all of that?
At first, it wasn't so bad. The big change was when it all started in March and everything got shut down. My family was in Alabama and I was out here in California. So there was a big stress of not being with them. I'd planned on getting out of the military and I ended up staying in and extending. But the roommate that I was living with, they had a, I don't want to say a full setup, but they had a, they had, you know, 275 pounds worth of plates. They had a barbell, squat rack, a bench, you know, so I was able to do, you know, a, more of a maintaining workout. I wasn't really able to gain muscle or, you know, gain strength. I did increase my core stamina, I guess. I started jump roping a lot. I got into researching jump ropes and I'd spent, you know, it's like $180 on jump ropes, which is just ridiculous, but they're very good. It's if anyone wants to check out, it's Cross Rope jump ropes. They're really good quality, but that was affected a little bit because my big thing was working out. I do like strength. I like powerlifting. I like moving heavy weight. That's what kind of, you know, gets those endorphins pumping for me when I'm in the gym. But gyms came back open. I was going every now and then with, well, I was going every day with my buddy Ralph, after I'd get off work. But now the wife and kid are back. So my priorities have changed. You know, I get off work and I take care of him while she's at work. So it's kind of, my training's definitely been affected. But one thing I have learned is I can't let anything be an excuse. I have the time to go, but I haven't been taking advantage of it. So it's all on me at this point.
Right.
But definitely soon I'm going to kind of get back into my routine. Me and the wife are just figuring a bunch of stuff out. We're looking for daycare right now.
Right. I think as long as I've known you, one thing that has always stuck out about you is your ability to just stick with what you're doing as far as exercising and all that. And it appears that it's deeply ingrained into your lifestyle and a good habit, honestly. So about how long have you been working out for? Like, when did you start? How did you start?
Started about, man, let's see, 2015. 14, 15. I was in Pensacola. I didn't really have a thing for fitness. Like, I would go to the gym every now and then when I'd be like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym. And that was like very rarely. And I just had some troubling times in my life that I was going through. And my buddy Danny Garza, he just told me, he was like, hey, let's go to the gym. And I went to the gym and it became my outlet for, just, you know, my therapy session on my own, just kind of going and relaxing my mind, not thinking about anything. And I was super weak at first. It's really funny to think back now, but I was, I remember getting in the squat rack and I would just put a plate on there. It was 135 pounds on my back and I could squat it like six times and it was rough, but it was that, I guess, that burning pain from exercising and lifting weights that, I don't know, I kind of fell in love with it. But yeah, it was about 5-6 years ago. And then I've just really never stopped. I've had, you know, there's been time off because of, you know, life, going through different training, moving, and, you know, now gym's closing down, but yeah. 5 years ago.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting how, like, when you have this negative energy and how much of a benefit it can become in a way. I've learned this for me personally, where you feel like, I almost used to crave it, where I'd be like, man, like, I'd look for negative energy just for motivation itself.
Yeah.
I don't know how healthy that is to do looking back on it. I'm like, man, just doing that just because I don't know if it was worth it, but it worked for sure. And just staying committed to whatever it is. But yeah, so it's definitely been a different environment with this whole coronavirus going on. But I've been, honestly, the thing that's been really helping me is just getting outside and just going, whether it's for a run or for a walk, because I feel like for me personally, my brain craves variety. Like, it's so important to me. I never realized how important variety is, but your brain craves it. And I think that it's easy to fall into depression in this whole coronavirus thing, where you're kind of just, you're doing the same thing that you were doing kind of before, but now you know for a fact you can't do anything about it. And I'm always kind of worried about it, but at the same time, for me personally, I've also learned that being in these sort of situations where you can't really break out of where you're at, in a way, I've always kind of thrived in that environment. It kind of brings me back a few years to being stuck and just think, having that idea where, oh, hey, you can't do anything, but it's like not true. It really is going to come down to you and thinking about breaking through walls, getting through different areas of what you might be struggling with. For me personally, like, I think doing a podcast is one of the best hobbies that you can get into, because something that I've learned from it, and I didn't expect this as something that I would gain from it, but just relationships that you'll gain and like people that you'll learn about. And it just like opens up another perspective on life for you. So it's pretty inspiring to definitely get into that idea. As far as being in this whole quarantine deal, have you kind of tried to reach out to anybody as far as like pulling them into this whole fitness habit? Is there any plans, like, as far as, I guess, how you're reaching out to people to kind of get them out of where they're at?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was talking to my wife earlier today about what are we going to do to, you know, get the commitment up and running. I've got she's got friends back home in Alabama and Mobile, and they message her all the time, like, hey, can you get me some workout plans? Like, what are you doing? We're both certified. Well, my cert expired, so I'm not certified anymore, but she's certified currently. I got to get mine redone. It's just something, it's not a priority. Anyway, I get back to that. People just message her all the time for stuff. She's got a couple people that are here in California that are asking if she can, you know, make a plan, and we'll sit up at night, you know, before we go to bed, or before she goes to bed and I go to work, making, you know, just weekly routines, stuff to, you know, trick your muscles or whatnot. But the big thing we're going to do once everything gets ready to come off the, you know, off the ground and running with the fitness page, we're going to do like the first 10 to 20 clients. We're going to give them a drastically reduced rate for a 6, 8, or 12 week program, just to have clients that we can use as a selling point. So if a lot of people don't know, they're listening, the best way to get more clients is to have past clients and have a, you know, before and after, or progression pictures, or, you know, just, someone I follow, they call it, I can't even remember, but more or less just, you know, positive reinforcement. No, not positive reinforcement. I don't know the word, but it's just showing people that what we're offering is working. Right. A buddy of mine told me, he's like, you don't get paid for your time, you get paid for your worth. So as long as we're putting out, you know, a quality fitness training program, then, you know, it's going to bring more people. So the big, like, to answer your question, what are we doing to reach out? We're just going to push that idea that, hey, join us. You'll get a drastically reduced price for your first you know, fitness plan or one-on-one training, and, you know, and go from there. Hopefully it picks up and people grab hold and want to change their lifestyle.
Yeah. Something that I've learned, I wasn't really big into Instagram for ever, basically. And for some reason I just started, actually, I know why I started using it a lot more. Like I have been, my wife uses Instagram a lot and I always talk down to it, but in all honesty, it's a great tool to reach out to people, especially through DMs or whatever. And there's a lot of people who are kind of in your same spot where they're looking to do the same thing as far as growing, if it's growing a social media platform, work on fitness. But anyways, going from there, the other thing that's been pretty helpful just where I'm at currently is just keeping a notebook on hand with ideas that start coming out. Cause it's kind of, to me, it's been a momentum effect where, and it kind of, it's, I don't know, it kind of bothers me sometimes cause I can't sleep cause I'm just up thinking about
thinking
it.
Of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yesterday I had got tasked with something as far as taking care of some scrap metal. And then I've been doing this other little course. And that's the other good thing about doing a podcast. That's what I wanted to talk about as well, is that the more you do it, you're going to want to make more content. And
yeah,
the way you make more content is by growing personally. In my opinion, that's what's been the most helpful thing to me. It's like, okay, like I put out this much content, I want to put out more. How can I go get more? It's either you grow as a person through your network, or you sit down, find a course that you want to learn about, take it in and see if you can repurpose it as your own and put your thoughts and ideas on it. But anyways, yeah. Something that just came through my head thinking about it, I was going through a bunch of Google websites or Google searches, and I was looking for people who are who buy scrap metal, basically. And I didn't know this because copper apparently has quite a bit of a value to it, depending on how much you
buy. Yeah, copper's very valuable.
But there's also another side to this, and it's cool because it sounds like what you're doing with your wife and doing it on both fronts. Like you have her perspective where women can reach out, and then your perspective also, and men can reach out as well. But something that I started dabbling in was learning about social media marketing. I hate the word marketing, and I hate the idea of trying to sell stuff. But it is what it is. Yeah. So I've been taking this course on basically how to get clients to build up their websites, basically. And just the whole thought of it last night, I was like, this could be kind of a good project to get into. And I started thinking about it. I was like, if I bring them scrap metal, not only can I bring them scrap metal, but I can also offer them website services to improve their websites as well. I was like, this is crazy. But that really has come through basically from networking and just being able to talk to different people and being personable, I guess, has been something that I've learned. Like I've spoke quite a bit about this on my own Instagram account about how important self-reflection is and kind of know where you're at and thinking about it. So it's still an idea. I'm not sure if I'm going to get this off the ground and running, but it sounds like it could be pretty lucrative. And it's definitely where I think the more you learn, the more you earn, for sure.
Definitely.
So just getting into that aspect. How are
going back to the notebook thing, making a list, you actually got me doing that. So
has it been effective?
It has been effective. I've made, like, I don't have a lot of to-do tasks during the day.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I started using it with Jackson first because he's, you know, I'm watching him during the day. So I set a timeline of what I have to do, because I kept finding myself, like, he'd wake up from his nap and obviously he's hungry. And I'd be like, crap, I didn't make him any food yet. And so I started making on the to-do list. It's not a time set. It doesn't have a time frame, but as soon as he goes down for a nap, I go ahead and get whatever he's going to eat. I get it ready to make. And then an hour later is when I decide to cook it. Or if I got to cook it, I'll cook it then. But that's one thing. And then I've got a timer on my phone set for as soon as he wakes up, it's just a quick click. So it'll, you know, I have an hour. Or after he eats, I have an hour before I'll give him a snack, or an hour and a half. Same thing when I get home and when he wakes up and stuff. So that was, it was a big help because I feel like I don't get stressed when he's playing around and stuff, but I kind of have like a mini panic attack when I'm like, oh crap, he's hungry and I don't have anything ready. So that's helped out. And then just making the, like you said, making when ideas come into your head, writing these ideas down. I did that last night at work. Just I started having ideas about how we're going to do, how we want to run a website. It's not the last project that we have, but we are going to build a website that, you know, people can click to, but how we're going to run a YouTube channel, how do we want to, you know, play that out? What are we going to show in videos? Like how much do we show of a workout or a training session to not give away everything that we offer, but give away enough to have people be like, you know what, I want to work with them.
Right.
So, but yeah, when you told me about the list thing, you know, a couple weeks ago, it definitely is, it's something I grabbed hold of and I started doing just to, you know, tasks or ideas, just to have them readily available so I can, I mean, I don't get backed up on anything or I don't lose my train of thought. You know, when you have a bunch of things you're doing and you don't have a plan, you start going all over the place. Like I hate to throw my wife under the bus, but when she starts cleaning the house, you know, she'll say she starts in the kitchen and then she just walks away for a second. She sees something else. She's like, oh, I need to do this. She'll start doing that. And she forgot about the kitchen. And then she'll be in the middle of that task and she'll see something else. And she'll, you know, before long she was, you know, doing the dishes or cleaning the kitchen or whatever. And then I get home and she's, you know, hanging up pictures, or she just started painting and she just forgot to finish the task that she started. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's something we laugh about because I do the same thing. I'll, you know, get distracted from one task because another task popping up.
Yeah, I can definitely relate. I think that's where like that daily to-do list feels so important because it's just keeping you from being all over the place. And I don't think it's bad to expand your horizon and like learn about different things and be on different things. I just think that when one portion, for instance, takes over the entirety of your time, that's toxic for sure. I think the other thing that it's definitely helps with if you guys, anybody listening is feeling like they're struggling with family time, I think scheduling, like making sure you're writing down that time to spend with either your significant others or your kids in like real quality time. And I've been pretty big on this recently, but trying to remove electronics basically that occupied time, because I personally have felt like I've been dealing with this with just looking at it. Like if I start scrolling through Facebook, I just start thinking about how much time I'm wasting on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is just nonsense. It's either nonsense, like a meme basically, or I'm looking at some sort of controversy. And it's even weirder because over say the past 2 weeks where I've just been focusing on what I can do, that like the things that I can really control, and hearing about certain things that are going on in the news. And I have honestly spent way less time paying attention to what's going on the news, like things I don't have control over, basically. Like when I hear about it, I feel bad about it, but it's like I don't have control over it. So what difference does it make for me?
Yeah.
Anyways, but it's amazing how much time that can fill and kind of just create this void of just a vacuum of like sucking things away and you really not getting anything done. What's your take on that as far as like scrolling through Facebook and seeing people like, I don't know, just doing whatever it is that they're doing and how it affects time?
I am definitely one to get caught up in a Facebook video reel. I see one video and I watch it. And then those of you that do this, you'll see the, you know, it, after that video stops, it automatically goes to the next one. And I'll just sit there and scroll through them looking for something funny, something entertaining, you know. I will say most of the time that I do it at work when I'm, that's sad to say, but I work night shifts, so not a lot goes on, but I'll sit there after I've done, you know, the maintenance checks or whatever task needed to be done at work, and I'm basically just waiting for the next shift to show up, and I'll just go through a Facebook video reel. Definitely going to stop doing that as much. I'm going to start concentrating on, I'm going to build a bunch of different workout plans, but yeah, I've stopped, I have stopped concentrating on, you know, things in the news. That's just right now, there's a lot of negativity, with the media. So I stopped paying attention to it. Stopped reading other people's posts about it because I feel in my mind, I'm like, there are good causes that people are, you know, voicing their opinion on, and I'm totally for that. But, with them voicing their opinions, it brings negativity from the people that don't agree with their, you know, their opinion. And in our world today, I feel like people don't respect other people's opinion, regardless of what it's about. Like, I will say there are a lot of opinions that I think are just so far from just being
real.
Just decent. Like, so many people have just the most indecent opinions about certain matters, and I'm not going to divulge into what they are because I don't want people commenting on it, but it's, you know, it's definitely, I just feel like there's strife causes more strife.
Right.
You know, all the negativity, it just piles on negativity upon negativity, and there's no, it's hard to look at the news right now and see any bit of positivity.
Yeah.
I will say that they found like 40 something, they rescued 40 something children from sex traffickers, and that's about the best thing we've heard on the news lately. So, yeah.
But you know what? Maybe in a way, I guess you could look at it in almost a positive view, in that, like, if the media is constantly pumping out this bad news, like, in a way, it could be viewed positively in the fact that you don't want to look at it anymore, and really just focusing on your own life seems like a much better. And it's not even a distraction, since it's something that's actually productive for you. Because, like I said, like, I haven't looked at, like, the news. Like, I'll hear people bringing up what's going on, and I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, I had no clue. So it's funny to me when I start hearing whatever is going on, and almost see people completely stressed out about it. And I think something else, like, that I've always noticed on social media, and it doesn't matter really what side you're on with issues, but how certain comments they almost always go to personal attacks. And I'm like a big believer in that. I'm a big believer in not personally attacking other people, especially if you want them to gain perspective on your side. That I think as soon as you go into personal attacks, like, it just, you know, just creates more toxicity. You shut the other person out, and
you lose all credibility. As soon as you start attacking that person, calling them names or, you know, whatever, like, your opinion is now a void because you're coming from an emotional place, and you know, you're not getting your opinion across. You're getting your feelings across.
Right.
And, you know, that ruins it.
Yeah. Something that, like, I've been working on is just taking a bunch of online courses. Like, I'm not addicted to it, but, like, I've been pretty engaged on just,
you have,
like,
been taking a lot.
Yeah. I've been picking up quite a bit, but it's been good. I've been enjoying it. And, like, I feel like it's bad in that, I guess, it's taken some time out, but in reality, I've spent quite a bit of time either just scrolling through YouTube, Facebook, playing Madden, and, like, that same amount of time that I was using for that kind of gets used constructively. But the other thing that I was thinking about was how you're setting goals and stuff. Like, this is what's been helping me a lot in kind of just staying focused a little bit better and not feeling upset about where I'm at, because it's easy to go on Instagram and compare yourself to others. But in my opinion, that's not a good way of looking at things. And in a lot of ways, success is arbitrary. Like, for instance, if you look at a ladder, you've got the top and you've got the bottom, right? So you could have, say, for instance, at a company, somebody who's working as a janitor, but happy as can be doing what that work is. It could bring a lot of meaning for them because of the organization that they're working for, or they get time with their family, or it's bringing in that income. And then you could have somebody at the top of this ladder, so to speak, where they have all this materialistic success, but as far as like spiritual success, like it's lacking. And this was a really interesting perspective to me. And then the other idea of setting goals was putting together a race, and basically whoever crosses the finish line first is successful, and that the other people who don't cross the lines aren't successful. And to me, I don't know if that's my idea of success, in that you have to win and everybody else has to lose in order for you to be successful. And then there was a third idea of how you can view your goals, and it's basically throwing a rock into a body of water and creating a ripple effect, basically a positive effect to the things around you. And I think that that idea resonated with me a lot more, to where it's not like, oh, hey, I'm not doing this because it's not going to help me in the race or getting up this ladder. It's more like, why am I doing it? Like, there's a real why meaning to it. It's not based on materialistic things. And I think that that idea has made quite an impact for me. And it's crazy. Once you start rolling off of momentum and just keep going with it and doing whatever you can do to not let your momentum fall off, it can be pretty, pretty wild. And just, I guess, like I said, focusing on that and not focusing on, like I said, what's going on with the news, what's going on with other people and what they have, can definitely make quite a difference in your life, in my opinion. And it's definitely made it for me. For instance, just thinking about it, I don't know, it's cool for me too now, even to think about it more, but it's like any way that I can help somebody and see them do better, like, I'm excited by that. Or if it's like a process improvement, like I believe in this, like finding something that's small basically and just working on it and trying to think about the bigger meaning of it, I guess. So for me personally, I like managing like little things. I don't mind necessarily managing people, but I guess materialistic things, like managing it effectively for some reason, where doing an effective improvement process on that and having that positively affect other people is something that I get a great bit of joy on. And I think that also that you can always improve a process. There's no perfected process. And I think that the whole idea of, and I think you can speak to this as well, as far as somebody who works out a lot, the idea of having being more focused on a process rather than a product, and how much of a difference that can make, especially in working out. It's always going to be a work in process no matter what. And I think for me, accepting that idea that it's all a process in reality, and not getting too caught up on the outcome, because it's like right now with certain issues that we have going on, that everybody's more focused on the outcome and nobody's really focusing on the process of fixing it. And it kind of, I guess, has got me going in a few areas of what I'm thinking about, as far as, I know I asked you about this, what's more important, fame or respect? And
definitely respect.
Right. And
not that fame isn't good. I mean, but that's not what I'm looking for.
Yeah. And it definitely can depend on like what kind of fame you get. Like, you could be famous for chewing out the wrong person at Walmart and them pulling out a phone, and you're famous, but nobody's going to.
You're a Karen on the internet.
Yeah, you don't want to be a Karen on the internet for sure. Have you run into any Karens at all like that?
I did. I hate to bring it up, but I was one of the hobbies I picked up during the this quarantine is longboarding. So a few buddies that I've met over time, a couple from work, we would go down to Carlsbad and we would ride the seawall. You know, just take the skateboards and, you know, just cruise. A lot of fun. But we were on our way back up the hill and my buddy Rob was, he had his dog with him and his dog was basically pulling him. So for those of you that can't afford a motorized skateboard, if you have a dog and they like running, you know, there you go. Anyway, Rob got pulled up the hill. We came to an intersection and we stopped and this lady had her dog and Rob's dog Rusty was like wanting to, you know, smell the dog like dogs do. And the lady started pulling the dog away and Rob was like, oh, is he not friendly? And she freaked out and she was like, y'all have a mask on. Y'all are supposed to be 6 feet away. And, you know, she lost her mind on us and we're just standing there at the intersection. We didn't have our masks. We didn't have them on. Like I had mine. I had one of those like full face covering, you know, I don't know what they're called. It's just like basically a sleeve. But I had it around my wrist. And Rob had his mask in his pocket, probably. I don't know. We just, you know, we're cruising down the bike lane, basically, on a skateboard. We're not standing next to anybody for so long. But anyway, yeah, she lost her mind. That was a Karen I ran into. And I had one lady at the grocery store. So I watch Jackson, like I've said, in the mornings when Skylar's at work. I had to go to the grocery store to get, you know, it was my day to get groceries or whatever. And I'm in the grocery store, buggy full of stuff. Jackson's sitting in the little, you know, riding section of the shopping cart. And this lady was like, you should be ashamed of yourself bringing that child in here. He could get sick. And I bit my tongue. I didn't say anything, but I was like so aggravated that, you know, she decided to state her opinion of what I do with my child. But that was another Karen.
Yeah. I think you've done a lot better than me with Karens. I was going to Costco. I am, like, my wife knows this, that I'm not a fan of Costco just because I'm normally not somebody who likes crowds too much, if I can avoid them. Either. But I was walking in and then there was a Karen behind me. And my wife was coming back out to get me because she's the one who has a Costco card, basically. And I had one coming up, and she was like, get out of the way. And I was like, nope. I was like, sorry. I'm like, you don't own the sidewalk. And I just started, like, I was kind of yelling at her. I was like, get over it. Get over it, you old hag. And I was like, man, I was like, it's crazy how these people behave, and then I think when you return in kind, they don't expect it. So,
yeah. Just a disclosure, if your name is Karen and you are listening, we're not referring to you. We're referring to the attitude, and Karen just fits the name Karen fits the attitude, which you may not have the attitude. I do have another funny story about a Karen, and I think it was when I was being a Karen. I think I ended up being a Karen on this one. My wife called me out on it. I was very rude. We went to this restaurant, what was it? Crack Shack here in there's one in Encinitas.
Yeah.
And they have like local made or local brewed or whatever, sodas. I can't remember the name of them, but the regular cola that they had, it's very good. I want to say it's all natural ingredients. They use pure cane sugar, so it's just got a very sweet taste to it. But super carbonated too, so you know you get that little bite as you swallow in your throat or whatever. But anyway, there was people getting a Coke, so I'm standing in line, and this lady walks up, and she was older, and I feel bad, you know, because I shouldn't have said what I said to this lady, but. It upset me because I was waiting to get this Coke or this soda, and she just hops in front of me, and I was like, oh, no, don't worry. I'm not standing here waiting in line, and she just kind of turned around, and most people, I think, would have said, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, and but she turned around, and she was just like, well, since I'm already here, And, you know, she didn't apologize at all for totally cutting in front of me.
She sounds like,
you
know what? Karen.
You have less, huh?
I said she sounds more like the Karen than you were being. I think that's...
What I said, after she said, you know, since I'm already here, and she got her, you know, she started filling up her drink, I was like, yeah, well, you know, you're old. You have less time on this planet, so I wouldn't want you to miss out on getting your soda right now. And it was just, you know, it was rude, like, in my head, as I said, laughing. And then, but I was heated because, you know, she didn't apologize. And she got out of the way, and she just kind of, she gave me a look, you know, and she scoffed at me. And, you know, she probably went and told her husband, you know, this butthead guy was, you know, talking.
Telling me I'm old. Talking,
yeah. And then I told my wife, because I thought my wife would think it was funny. And my wife was like, that was extremely rude, Jeremy. You should be totally ashamed of yourself. And I was just like, man, you know, maybe I shouldn't, but I shouldn't have said it. I do agree that it. I should have, as my mom would say, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. Don't treat them the way they treat you.
Yeah.
So I'm growing up, the golden rule, it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
But I definitely, I treated her, that lady, wrong, and my wife let me know that my actions were discouraged, I guess. But
yeah, I think hold on, I'm getting like some feedback from you. I don't know if it's you or
I might have been mic too close to the speaker. Yeah. I don't know. Pull it back a little bit. I can turn it down.
No, yeah, I think it's good now. So anyways, I don't know. I see what you're saying with people being rude, where it's like they're in a rush for something that it's like trivial. But like last night I was dealing with this. I take my dogs for a walk like every day I get home. It's like the main thing on my mind. I'm like, I got to get these dogs out. I got to go walk them.
But, what kind of dogs do you have?
I have an Australian Shepherd in Newfoundland. So
a Newfoundland?
Yeah. But she's, oh, wow, she's like a cat, basically. Like, she's chill. Like, she's okay. Yeah, I think if, like, you, if you have... if you have issues with, like, anxiety, that, like,
yeah,
I would highly recommend the Newfoundland, just because, like, she's just so well-tempered, and just taking her out, like, taking her to the beach or wherever, she's just, like, this big, fluffy dog, and she acts like a cat, or, you know, she's just lovable, and...
I'm trying to talk the wife into a dog, like, just, you know, I want to... Jackson... He loves dogs. Every time we go out somewhere, like if there's a dog, he immediately, his eyes focus to it, and he like reaches his hands out, and people are like, oh, no, you know, the dog walks up and it'll lick Jackson's feet or his hand or something. And they're like, oh no, I'm sorry. And we're like, oh, believe me, he loves dogs. You can let the thing go. And they'll lick his face and his hands, and he's laughing. He absolutely loves dogs. And so I'm trying to talk the wife into it. So I feel like it would be a good, you know, I don't know, a friend for him to have at home besides two gigantic people walking around, you know?
Yeah.
But another plus to it is, and people, you know, dog lovers and people who don't believe in feeding dogs table food, sorry about this, but Jackson drops his food in the floor as he's eating dinner, lunch, breakfast, whatever. And if I got a little dog that goes through and picks up the scraps, you know, that's less cleaning I have to do. I look at it as a positive. You know, that's... taking time, you know,
that's a pragmatic approach.
Exactly. I feel like it's, you know, it's smart. And it's not like he's going to be, like, we feed Jackson pretty healthy. We don't let him eat anything. Like the other day, I gave him a couple little bits of pizza because I was like, oh, I didn't make anything. So I had some pizza, so I gave him some pizza. And then one of Skylar's favorite little treats is the Chick-fil-A chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah,
it's, if you haven't had one, they are amazing. They're one of the best.
I think Chick-fil-A in general is pretty good. It always bugs me whenever, like, the day where I'm like, hey, I really would like to go get some Chick-fil-A, and it's Sunday.
It's always Sunday.
Yeah, it's always Sunday.
Always Sunday.
I don't know how they do so well with that whole aspect of just being closed on Sundays and being as big as they are. But I don't know. I definitely recommend it. I think also, if you get, like, it's definitely a time commitment too. I think like making sure like you're taking your dogs out for walks and getting their energy out plays an important role, but it's healthy. Like I like it. Like, I always talk about focused and diffused thinking. So for me, like I'm always focus. And then like when it's time to relax, like for me, just like getting the dogs out and just going for a stroll and just not focusing on my phone or whatever it is and just kind of enjoying the outside for a bit has been really relaxing. But yesterday I was taking them out for a walk and I don't know. I don't get it where people are in such a rush for certain things and like just lose consideration for other people. But I was trying to cross the street and this SUV pulls out, blows through basically a stop sign. And I'm just like, seriously, you don't know how to stop at stop signs. Like it's that much of a difficult thing, but I don't know. I try to think like too. I'm like, I wonder what's going on in that person's life where they're at this point where they're just like not thinking of things. I'm like, for all I know, he could be late. He could be struggling to pay his bills right now where he's probably financing it, probably making payments on something he can't afford at this point and just losing consideration and focus himself. But I think
that's kind of how I started looking at it when someone, if I feel someone did me wrong, I'm like, you know what? They may have something going on that's putting them in this place.
Yeah.
And so I choose to let it go now. I don't get upset about it. I'm like, hey, I hope whatever they're going through that caused that action, I hope it's resolved. You know, that's kind of what I wish upon those people.
Yeah. I think for me, it's definitely hard though. It's definitely easier said than done to think like that, especially if you're driving. But I think personally for me, what's been just really helpful with not losing my cool around people is just meditating. Like I swear by it. Like at least like even before this podcast, I was like, I got to do 10 minutes. I got to make sure this is done so I can ground myself, make sure I get not locked up in any idea and just keep my breathing in check, because I think that's something else that some people might not pay attention to. And I've noticed this with people, and you can always tell like if they're not where they're at or normally basically. And something that I always try and pick up on is their breathing. If it looks like they're like taking in a million breaths a second, or if they're cool, calm and collective. So for me, it's kind of interesting to kind of think about, keeping that perception of other people's composure. But it's hard. Yeah. It's a hard message, I guess, to get through to people too. It's the same with exercising. You know, everybody knows that, hey, exercising is a good thing to do, but it's not something that everybody's practicing. And I don't mean to pass a judgment, because I was definitely an offender in that aspect where I was just not taking care of myself and just kind of winging it all the time. And then finally taking a step back and being, telling myself, hey, this isn't healthy. But I think also that's where self-reflection is an extremely important thing, in that being able to take other people's perception on ideas or even issues that you're facing are pretty important. Somebody who was really close to me gave me this idea, and he was talking about balance basically, and how if you're dealing with this problem in your head alone and you're bottling it up and not sharing what you're dealing with anybody, it just creates more and more toxicity. So it's like important to me, something that I think is helpful. I'm going to do a sponsor right here. But anybody who's struggling with this and getting these ideas out of your head, again, I think podcasting is a great way to just get that movement or whatever it is out of your head. But it also will bring balance and let the other person know what's going on. And even if they can't help the situation, even if they don't have any real means, I think at least understanding take some of the burden off of you, where you're not just thinking about it yourself and you're saying hey to that other person. Especially now, I think it's just like, you know, I'm thinking about this and I'm always worried about it, And that's been part of the reason why I've been sort of passionate about trying to get projects going at work, because I don't know what people are going home and doing. I don't know if they're going home and drinking or just depressed. And especially like during these times, I just find it interesting to think about trying to get people out of these dark places. Like, that's why I like the podcast deal. I like giving it out to people. And then even the vlogging thing, I think, is a great thing to get into, especially now, probably more than ever. It's basically, you can't really do anything. You can't go to all these random stores you'd like to, but social media still exists. I mean, could you imagine what, say, 10 years ago would be like without what we have now, and how kind of lucky we are to have what we have now at our disposal? Having going from basically smartphones, these Nokia phones that had these okay games,
the bar phone with Snake and stuff
on it. To now you've basically got a super computer on hand at all given times. I think about that meme where, or it's not a meme, but it's kind of like the saying where you always had these teachers who were telling you, hey, you're not going to have a calculator in your pocket. And it's like, no, you're right. I'm going to have a supercomputer that can basically look up anything and know anything at all given times. And even do what we're doing now, basically doing a remote video session. I mean, this wasn't even heard of, even say, what, 15 years ago? There was nothing like that. I think I remember watching like Pokemon and seeing how they used to do like these video chats and thinking about how we didn't have that technology yet. And then here we are 15 years later going off, just doing whatever it is on a cell phone. So I don't know. It's pretty interesting to think about. What's your take on as far as like utilizing your phone and leveraging it to get more stuff done?
I mean, I can remember when I didn't have a cell phone. Me and my wife had this conversation the other day about, you know, I'm sitting there like, oh, all these kids, you know, this is the old man in me. I'm like, these kids didn't have it like I did. Like, I was out in the yard. I was hopping fences, climbing trees, you know, when I was growing up. And now all these kids got tablets and cell phones and video game consoles and all this. But now, like, if me and Skylar were to not allow Jackson to, you know, learn how to use, you know, whether it's our cell phone, him learning how to, you know, navigate to an app or using the iPad or, you know, learn how to use the remote to the TV. That's how children learn these days.
Yeah.
Like if we hinder him or if we stop him from learning how to use an iPad and pull up a video or, you know, play a game on the phone, when it comes time for him to, when he's in school, he's going to be behind all these children.
Yeah.
Because that's how, like, nowadays in school, they're using tablets for children. It's, you know, instead of printing, you know, maybe it's for the environment, instead of printing all these textbooks, you know, that are 3 inches thick, they have them all PDFs on a tablet. And if Jackson doesn't know how to use a tablet or navigate through apps and stuff, he's going to be behind. So, like, I think now using the technology we have for our benefit, I think it's a plus. I think it helps out. Like, going back to fitness, I don't track my calories, but I do know that, you know, in order for me to gain muscle, I need to be in a caloric surplus, or if I'm trying to burn a little fat and tone up, I need to be in a caloric deficit. So I have an Apple Watch and I can go in there. It'll, you know, I did an in-body scan and it told me what my metabolic rate was. So just naturally throughout the day, I'm burning, like, if I am me sitting on the couch doing nothing, I'm going to burn 2,500 calories regardless. That's my metabolic rate. That's what my body does. So you take into account how much food I'm eating. I take in roughly 3,000 to 4,000 calories of food a day. I eat a lot. I'm 6'4", 240 pounds. I eat a lot of food. So you subtract the 2,500 calories. If I don't work out and I'm eating 4,000 calories of food, I'm at a 1,500 calorie surplus right now. That's not good. So I go to the gym, I can, you know, go on my watch and hit, you know, it'll go to the workout app on the phone and I select strength training and it'll start tracking my heart rate. You know, I'm 100% positive that it is not 100% accurate on how much calories I'm burning or what my heart rate is. It's really close on the heart rate, but I don't know how well it is on knowing exactly how many calories I'm burning, but I keep track of that so I know how much calories I'm burning throughout the day.
Yeah, I think though, I think there's definitely a fine line for myself personally, like, because my daughter, she had an iPad. I've started removing it away from her because she was watching Netflix. I felt too much. I was like, there's too much TV in it. I'm like, I don't know what I don't know what these Netflix shows are showing my kid, really. I mean, yeah, I know she's watching it. She could be learning something, but I was like,
there's definitely discipline to it. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to let Jackson, you know, like you said, I'm going to take, you know, I may give him like a couple hours a day where he's playing on the iPad. Once he's old enough to understand what I'm doing right now, he, you know, I can put anything on the TV and he'll sit there on the floor and stare at it just because it's a thing is moving on a screen. But when he gets to a point where I feel like, hey, you're doing this too much, you need to, you know, play with your toys or, you know, go walk around the house, do some laps or something, like, you know, there's a discipline to it. You don't want him to be a couch potato.
Yeah,
I totally agree with you. Like, definitely it needs to be supervised watching too.
Yeah, I think it's interesting now because if you think about it, we're that generation, that transition generation, basically going from having all the old stuff to having all this brand new stuff. So we've seen the evolution firsthand, but like at the same time, like going back to like the whole reward system, getting like your dopamine fixing basically through, I think, electronics is kind of not the best way to go. And I think that there's a lot of people who are grown ups dealing with this as well, which I think that might be a reason why we're dealing with depression rates, is because you can go through your phone on Facebook, see a bunch of funny things and be in a really good mood 1 minute, and then suddenly watch like another video that's controversial and feeling a whole different way. In about an hour's time. But something that I've been extremely like putting this into my to-do list and making sure I follow through on this is just having my daughter go pick out a book. I'm like, go pick out any book and like, I'll kind of guide her through a reading process of just going like, okay, what's this say? And just seeing if she picks it up, because something that I was kind of noticing, I'm like, this is kind of lacking. And I'm like, it's my own fault, really. Kind of letting it go on, but picking up on it. I was like, there's too much time on this iPad, and it's easy to just be fixed on that because, you know, you've got this screen with bright lights, and then going on to Netflix. I don't know. I've never been addicted to Netflix. Like, I've always seen people addicted to it. Like, my family has gotten pretty addicted to Netflix, and like, my brother, he'll tell me about it. My niece, she's into Netflix, where like they'll just binge watch for hours. And it, like, for me personally, like I can't stand it. Like, I don't know. Like, out of all the bad habits I've developed, like the one bad habit I've never gotten into was Netflix. And I think for me personally, I think it's easy to get caught into it. And I get annoyed when I feel like I'm not being productive. And I always feel like Netflix is not productive, but I've kind of turned my tune on it. There's some shows I will watch. Like, I love watching Shark Tank. There's this other show, it's called The Prophet.
I love Shark Tank.
Have you seen the show, The Prophet?
I haven't.
This is like my favorite show. Like, if I had somebody who I would consider as somebody who I look up to, it would be this person. And I like it because I feel like it's still productive. I still like the show because it's productive. But what he basically does is he's sort of like Shark Tank, where he'll invest into a company, But usually the company's failing for certain reasons, whether it's so he'll go in, go through like who the people are, how they act, and one of the three things that he harps on is people, process, and product, and seeing what the issues are with the business and just trying to get to the bottom of it. And then he'll do an investment on it, but he'll usually want like 50% of the company. And it's usually hard for these people who are looking at this idea of giving up half of what they've spent their whole lives working on to somebody else.
Yeah.
But he's like got results, you know, and he always brings up the idea of self-reflection. And if you can't see outside of your box, that you're kind of doomed for failure. But it's interesting, though, because one of the things that, like, I don't know, I binge watch. Sometimes I'll binge watch it, like, between my tasks of to-do lists, I'll throw that on just to get some more ideas of whatever it is that I'm doing. And something that he's really big on, like I said, is people, where, like, even if the process and product is great, if the relationships between the people who are in the organizations are toxic, he'll back away from it. I always like that idea, especially for, you know, what we do for work. I think the people that are you're working with can be basically the life or death of business. And in a way, like, in my opinion, people are the most probably, I don't know if it's the most valuable idea of business. I guess it's still up there, but that's why he calls it the three pillars of business, basically, just because if one of those doesn't exist, the business really doesn't exist. But I recommend it. Like I said, I get ideas from it for work. Maybe you will too, if you check it out. But he'll go into processes and look at how, for instance, inventory is managed. And something that stuck out to me was he was looking at this concierge truck company where they were selling basically these trailers that sell stuff at festivals, and they produce these. But he went into it, learned about the people who are building it, and like they build it great, but like he went outside and he just saw like a bunch of stuff just laying around. And he'll go in and start asking the people that he's looking at investing with, like, hey, do you know how much money is just lying around here on the yard? And people will just say, oh, hey, I don't know. And it gives me inspiration at work. Just like I said, I like dealing with equipment just for that reason, just to see what I can get out of it. Because like, yeah. I'll see a piece of equipment. I don't just see it as like a piece of equipment. I see it more as kind of like an investment, you know, it's taxpayer investment where you have money sitting there and it's like, okay, well, what can I do to get this basically asset to work to where it's producing an income like it should be? Just like how when you invest in stocks, managing your stocks correctly is important. And so I recommend it. That's just how I, like I said, take watching, and it's not even on Netflix, it's on Amazon Prime. I think that if you can watch things that will inspire you to improve your life, I recommend that. Even like house building TV shows, I kind of like those. I'm not as invested into them as my wife is sometimes, but I like the idea of what they're doing as far as getting fixer-uppers, turning it around and selling it. I always think that's pretty cool. But I think that there's also a balance, like I was talking about this morning, that too many self-help books or too many self-help courses create what I think is called analysis paralysis, where you've just got all these ideas of like, hey, I could do this, I could do that. And then suddenly you're just not doing anything.
But
I don't know. I think for me right now, it's so hard because I almost feel like I'm getting into that same cycle where I'm working on a lot of projects, and I don't know if I'd be better off just really focusing on one, to where, say, for instance, I just focused on the podcast and just worked on that because the viewership is great for me. Like, I'm doing well with viewership. Like, my growth is there. It's just that getting in on it even more is something that I've been toying with. So I'm not sure if doing maybe three episodes a week could be something that would work out better for me. but I don't like to just do. Say it again.
Where do you like? So what? When you're saying doing like three episodes, what are? Would there need to be like? Would you want to do like a schedule of like, you know, different topics for? Like I think I said that wrong, or I'm saying that wrong. So like, you know, say you did three episodes a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Monday, Tuesday, whatever. So like day one, what would be the, you know, first day of the week? Would you do like a, this day we're going to talk about, you know, topics one and two, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Instead of.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how
I know a lot of.
That's how I've approached topics. I guess you could take this for yourself as well. But sometimes I think the podcasts are usually a lot better when you have somebody else on it. But at the same time, making sure you're networking and making sure you're working it out and getting it done and not just kind of not following through on it. It's pretty important. So like for us, for instance, like that's why I had that on that planner. So like if I didn't do it, I know I'd feel bad about not doing it. But yeah. I think what like I was doing before and it's done okay is like that's why I said I like to take courses just to learn about things to where if I'm like, oh man, like I could definitely get like a whole podcast episode out of this idea, I'll do that. But what I've been thinking about recently is reaching out to different Instagrammers, like different people, micro influencers, and kind of strategically building relationships in, I guess, in a geographical sense to where, hey, in Oceanside, I know there's a bunch of micro influencers running around. Like, I know Encinitas,
oh, yeah.
People are all about posting on social media. So there's probably no shortage of it. Even in California, there's no shortage of influencers. But I guess my strategy has been, how am I going to actually capitalize off of it where, one, I can build the relationship, and two, actually get them on the show. But it's also, like, a lot of time that's invested into doing that. So something that I've been working on is putting into my to-do list, spend, say, 30 minutes networking, whether it's, and I guess I could define that idea more of networking of, and I could even, I guess, I don't know, this is kind of me just opening up my brain on the podcast on the idea of how I might approach it, but maybe, say, Monday, I focus all on networking, say,
yeah.
Tuesday would be all on getting this podcast together. Not all, but getting the podcast done. And then, like, in between that, more networking or marketing or advertising and working it out that way. It could be a strategic approach. Because there's another thing to that also. Like I said, I kind of want to open it up to more parts of the country. Because when I look at my analytics, yeah. Most of the people that are listening are in California right now. I mean, it's still mm-hmm. spread out through different areas. But most of the people, like I said, are in California. So that might be something that I start thinking about doing where it's not just, hey, I get one podcast and one podcast done. Because I don't want to just put out content for the sake of content. Like, I think I want to put out content that has some practical value to people. So that's kind of just where I've been at with it. So, yeah, and then, like, the whole reason why I got into podcasting, too, I picked this idea that I liked in my last, where I was at before coming into Oceanside, where I would get into conversations with people, and I was listening to a lot of Howard Stern on my long drives to work. Like, I'd spend an hour or so in traffic, but I'd also have Howard Stern on, and I just was almost mesmerized by his ability to open up conversation in such a artful way of asking people, hey, so how, and he's great. He's honestly, like, I think if you want to be,
I feel like he started the podcast. I don't know. When I look back to it, like, when I think back, like, he was always the one that I I can't remember anyone else other than, like, you know, talk show hosts on radios, but I mean, would that be considered a podcast, I guess?
I don't know. I think,
I guess the same format.
Yeah, it is the same format, but I think where his success really came from was that he wasn't afraid to push boundaries, you know?
Oh my gosh, no, he wasn't.
He was going everywhere and, like, listening to him, like, some of the things that, like, I'd be listening to him say would just have me just crying of laughter. Like, they were talking about Bill Gates and they had somebody impersonating somebody else. I'm not going to say who, but they were asking him, like, well, what about Bill Gates? He has this opinion on this. And the person responds, well, Bill Gates is an effing nerd. And I just, like, couldn't stop laughing at just the candidness of going over it. But then he also, he has different characters on the show. I'm not sure if they're real or not.
I remember, like, I can't remember the one guy's name, but he had, like, so Howard Stern was, you know, he was a big name, and, you know, in radio shows or, you know, podcast talk shows on TV, like, he had on entertainment, on E! Entertainment, the TV show.
Yeah.
Like, he would be a late night, he was a late night segment where, you know, it'd be like an hour or so of him and all his characters that he had in his studio, and they would just talk about whatever, but people knew Howard, like, you know, like people that had a band, they, you know, they had a small band, they were starting up, they wanted to be famous, you know, they'd be like, we need to get on, we need Howard Stern to play our song. If Howard Stern plays our music, then, you know, we're golden. And I remember this guy came in there, I was watching it one day, and he was, I think, I want to say he had, you know, he had like a rock band, like maybe a heavy metal band or something. And he wanted Howard Stern to play his music. And so he's in their studio and they're filming it. And this is where Howard Stern pushed the boundaries. He told the guy, he was like, I'll play your song. I'll play two or three of your songs on my radio show. If you eat a spoonful of, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was eating just as he picked boogers out of his nose and spoon. He's like, you eat this spoonful, then I'll play your music. And this guy, like, it sucked that he was the one out of his band to go to the show to ask, because now he had to, you know, if he didn't do it, he had to go tell his bandmates, like, hey, sorry, I wouldn't eat a spoonful of boogers, our music's not getting played. And, so he did it. I remember he had all they had was Diet Coke at the studio for him to drink. And so he had a can of hot Diet Coke. It wasn't even cold. And he took the spoon and the whole spoon, and he was just sitting here shaking, like trying not to throw up, drinking that Diet Coke. It was so gross. But, and Howard Stern played the guy's music, and I honestly can't remember the name of the band. But I do know it was catchy. Like, they had, it was, you know, I listened to Breaking Benjamins is one of my favorite bands, and at the time, like, that's what I listened to. They're still one of my favorite bands, but it went along with their genre, I guess. But yeah, Howard Stern, definitely, I think he's a pinnacle in the podcast radio show, you know, like, and he didn't really, you know, he had like segments of, you know, he brought guests on and he would talk to the guests about current things going on in their life. So I feel like, you know, having maybe a schedule to how doing a podcast would be, I definitely think it would work.
Yeah. I think, something else that was kind of interesting where his perspective, I guess, when he gets other people, like I said, on the show, and how skillful he is at kind of just talking to people. But something else that he did that it's pretty inspiring to me, but he got into I don't think it's a sanctuary, it's a animal rescue, and he does it for stray cats. Yeah. I think, which I think is really cool, and just shows kind of how you can take a podcast format and kind of go wherever you want with it. But he had this lady who's on the show, and she started like crying or whatever, and then she's like, I think whatever you do for these animals is really powerful, and I'm really glad that you did it. And I was like, oh man, I was like, that's pretty cool. But then something else I wanted to bring up was he had somebody called in. I think this was pretty recent, like this was last year, and they called in and they said that they were doing a podcast on something, I forget. But he was asking him, he's like, what would be one bit of advice you would give me? And you're thinking in your head, yeah, there's going to be some inspirational message behind this. And he starts going off. He's like, what do you mean one bit of advice? He's like, what does that mean? he's like, I don't know if you should actually go forward with doing your show, because it sounds like, you don't know what you're doing. He's like, and I don't know what you're talking about. So I don't know. I just thought it was always hilarious to listen to him. It helped me out a lot, I guess, kind of have a kind of an idea of something that I wanted to do before I started getting into these to-do lists and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
I found some passion in radio. I was doing a class at Palomar.
Yeah.
And I was doing, that's where
I remember that.
Yeah, I was doing that radio show. I took a break, kind of hit a wall. And I've reached out to them again in the idea of doing it, but I don't know. I'll have to see how that all works out with the whole COVID thing going on. It's been hard to shut everyone down.
Yeah, I got a question about like where's your, I don't want to say end goal, because I feel like we should never have a goal that stops our progress.
Right.
I think I heard that from you. I think you said that, like having you're talking about something like, you know,
process over product.
Yeah, but it's like people use, you know, there's like, oh, this is what I want to do. I want to get to this goal. And people reach that goal and then they stop. Right. You know, they cut it. They don't cut it short, but like, like for, you know, I revert all my examples to fitness, but a bodybuilder. So a bodybuilder that, take Gary Coleman or Jay Cutler, for instance, they won Mr. Olympia. That was their goal, is to win Mr. Olympia. But when they won Mr. Olympia, if they didn't continue to fight to, you know, if they didn't continue to train hard and become better, then the next year they weren't going to be Mr. Olympia. They had to continually get bigger, define their muscles more, you know, train harder, maybe train longer. They were constantly having to kind of change up their diet because they had to trick their body. So it was a constant, you know, they had a goal, but it was a goal that was never, it was met, but it was never met in a way.
Right.
Just because you meet a goal or, you know, so my question is where do you want the podcast to be? And, you know, people always say that where you see it in 5 years, but when I was talking to the wife, what I think if we stuck with, which I plan on sticking with the podcast idea and building our fitness brand and our, you know, healthy lifestyle brand around having a podcast and a place for dialogue, my goal that I would like to see it is, you know, 2, 3, 5 years down the road, wherever our home is, or, you know, if we, one of my goals also with, you know, having the social media, the fitness platform on social media and everything is I want to have a gym. I want to have I want to own my own gym, but having a room, that has, you know, a few cameras, a few microphones set up to do a podcast there, you know, and record it, edit it, put it online and stuff. But where do you see your podcast in, you know, say, we'll say 5 years?
I think my take on it in 5 years. So it's really weird for me because, I kind of just winged it, right? That's kind of like how the whole mm-hmm. process started. So even having a podcast at this point is like crazy to me. Like when I start looking at like numbers online, I'm like, holy crap, people are actually listening. And, yeah. So it's kind of weird. Like, I never really, like, had that idea of, like, hey, you know what I'm going to go and do is go out and build this giant podcast and do whatever it is. So it's kind of just, like, right now I'm just taking it in as it's going forward, just learning about the success with it. I think in 5 years with the whole podcast, I think if I had a 5-year goal would be just to influence more people, I guess, to help them with what they're struggling with. Because I think for me personally, coming out of being in recovery and all that, building a personal brand has been pretty powerful to me, because I think the value behind it, it's not just money, but it's also being able to look at yourself in real time, in reality, and not feel bad about it. And I guess, like, if I can achieve that goal of helping others kind of finding their own whatever it is, if it's starting a podcast or just not just feeling as crappy about their lives, if I can have that just positive effect on as many people as I can in 5 years, more so than now, then great. And I think that's kind of where I'm at with it. I think another kind of way I'm looking at it too is that I've really been thinking if I want to sell something or not. Like, I've had this hat, and I had an online store for a little while, and I don't really like the idea of selling stuff to people. I think if I am selling anything, it's at the end of all of it, just my content, because I feel like my content is authentic. Like, I'm not, there's no BS behind it. There's no written lines. I'm not going off of a script or anything. Everything's off the cuff, and I like to kind of keep it that way. So,
yeah, I don't even think we had questions wrote down for what we were going to talk about.
No, yeah. I bet somebody might say something, but in all honesty, like, I feel like this is enjoyable conversation. Like, if I feel like I'm enjoying the conversation, chances are other people are enjoying the conversations. But I've experienced podcasts where I'll be listening to them, and you can tell everything's written down by script down to the period, and it just sounds robotic to me. And not like something I'd want to listen to. So I think if like I said, I don't have an agenda. Like, it's all really just to create more positivity to those around me. I think if it goes anywhere, what I'd probably do with it is leverage it into something else, I guess. Not that I would get away from the podcast, but if I could use that, I guess, to help other people. Actually, it's given me an idea of what to do with what I have now from the podcast, as far as not figuring out how I can use it effectively. Because you know how there's, like, products that if you buy it, like, a certain percentage of it goes towards some nonprofit organization? I think that could be actually a pretty cool idea for myself, and maybe even for you, if there's some sort of cause out there that you feel passionate about donating to. I think that could be pretty cool. That could even be a podcast that I bring up, and maybe even use it as a bit of sponsorship, or at least getting their name out and just doing that to build more and more awareness for things that I think are important for people to take perspective on. And that's just kind of where I've been at with going at it. Like, I don't like to make content that I don't think would be useful to somebody. Just like when I'm making Instagram videos, I feel as though, for instance, doing the 5 goals is something that somebody would want to hear, that's practical, that they can put to use with wherever they're at now. So I think in 5 years, if I had to really pinpoint something, I think just really having a podcast that's just extremely helpful to people and just going that route. So that's where I've been rolling at, and trying to think about what I'm doing. Again, I'm not going to drop another sponsorship, but for anyone who's listening, if you get onto Anchor, you get sponsorships which pay you basically every time somebody listens to it over a period of time. So if you need an incentive to grow, I guess that's part of my incentive to grow, since I'm not going to lie about that. But
yeah, money is necessary in life right now. So it's like, you know, if you're doing something that you're passionate about, you know, try to
share it,
try to make money. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then share that advice to people so they can, you know, if they enjoy, you know, maybe they enjoy the same things you do and they can, you know, have a monetary value to it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like I said, where I've been coming from. I'm going to school right now. I'm trying to do some computer science. Not just because like I like computers, but also so I can leverage my career to do other things that I want to do. And it's beyond just the idea of a career. It's more towards, hey, I want to help people. Something that I've been talking about with my wife, and this is really into the future deal, but if things work out correctly, what I'd like to do is start building like tiny homes, but they wouldn't just be tiny homes. It'd be like self-sufficient tiny homes where you put together, like solar panels on it. You could put like a vegetable garden on it. So everything's really like self-sustaining. But then after that, what I'd like to do with these tiny homes is use them to help sort out, I think, what is another problem that's always talked about, but nothing's ever really done about it, is trying to do what I could to help take care of the homeless population. And I'd probably focus on it more. I think that's really like, if I can see into the future and see something that I'd really like to achieve more than like a job and more than money, like I feel like contributing to helping out in that aspect would be something that I would feel satisfied with doing. Just because it's like, it's a problem that I always feel like that's talked about, but there's no real action on it other than like, there are some good organizations that do good, like Feeding San Diego. They're good at providing food, but as far as like shelter goes, like it's always been an issue, and I think that nobody's really approaching that problem effectively.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like this idea makes sense to me, because for one, the upkeep on it and the way I would have it built, it would basically pay for itself, but two, it would also, like I said, take care of people who I think need help with certain situations. For instance, I've been doing some research on some like battered women shelters. Like, to me, that's important to focus on, maybe doing something about helping them out, because I think family structure matters a lot. And that if I can make any contribution to making life easier for others and not to suffer as much, like that's where I would feel good about it. And it's not really just a fame, doing it for the fame sort of thing. Like that's a legacy you leave behind.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's a way out there project. Like it's, and that's where like my to-do list now matters a lot. If that's where I see myself going, and that's probably not, that's like a maybe 10, 15 year time frame, depending on how effectively I move now. That's where it's all coming down to.
Gotta make those effective movements.
Yeah. Something that I also have been recently getting into, for those of you out there who might not, who might be struggling to find some money for themselves, is just recycling. I think has been something that's been cool to into, because, for instance, I started doing this at work. I started taking the recyclings and using that not for myself, but to fund projects that are going on at work with like morale and all that, because to me it's like it's sustainable funding. Like you can always use that, because there's no shortage of people who are drinking energy drinks or drinking water and then turning that around and basically using that as an investment into whatever projects that people want to get off the ground, I think is big.
Yeah, I drink a lot of energy drinks, so I contribute to your recycling.
Yeah, no, I would definitely appreciate it, because it's not to me, it goes back to everybody else in the long run. The only thing is, it's coming down to me actually managing it and getting it done. So I've gotten it going so far, at the very least. And even if it's not something extravagant, something's better than nothing. Like, I know, I guess, like, people are leaving without going away gifts. And I thought that using that as something to always fund going away gifts would be cool, because it's not, yeah. And it's not something that anybody has to, like, sit there and sweat about funding. Like, it's there, and everybody technically is paying into it. But
that is true.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at with it. I'm probably going to close out soon. Is there anything else you want to share before we sign out?
Well, I was going to say my kid, I just heard him. I think he woke up, so I have to get him anyway. But I guess I'll say follow the commitment Instagram. We're going to start posting soon. We're going to put out the information for the first 10 to 20 clients that'll, have a drastically reduced price for a workout, schedule plan, weekly 6, 8, and 12 week plan. That's really all I got to say.
All right.
Everyone stay motivated, stay, passionate, make your goals, accomplish your goals.
Definitely. All right, guys. So definitely, check out Jeremy Butler's, Instagram accounts. I'll make sure everything's linked in the description. Yeah. So anybody who comes across it will see it. And, you can follow me on Instagram at David J. Sherwin, Facebook, YouTube, throughout pretty much every platform. So there you have it. I hope you guys are all staying up. Hope you guys are staying motivated, and I will see you all soon.